Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
We are continuing in the series of Matthew. Last week, Danny talked on the Beatitudes and kind of applying them to our lives. As we saw that living in God's kingdom is often kind of the polar opposite of naturally what we really are. Because naturally we are very selfish and we only think about ourselves and not others. And so today's passage gives us a call from Jesus to be different and set apart, to impact the world in a way that it enhances it and shines a light into it. Has anyone ever been like cave diving before or spelunking? Has anyone ever done that? Gone to caves? Not mad people? I did it one time with the camp I went to, and I'd say this is probably the first time in my life that I was happy that I was skinny and small, because as we were crawling through places, I definitely felt claustrophobic at times. But I remember we were climbing and we got to our destination, and then our instructor told us that all of us should turn off our lights that were on our heads. And it was just completely dark. Like, I couldn't even see the hand in front of me, like, this close. It was just that scary. And I think this passage kind of tells us the world that we are really living in. It is so dark for those who don't know Jesus at all. Without God's truth, the world is really spiritually dark. There's an evil one who works tirelessly to lead people away from God, kind of creating confusion, chaos, and despair. But as Christians, we are called to be salt and light in this dark world. Salt preserves and enhances, while light guides and reveals. Jesus calls us to live lives that are distinct, lives that influence the world, preserving what is good and shining God's truth so that others may come to know and glorify him. So let's explore how Jesus challenges us to step up and embrace this identity as salt and light, making lasting impact in the world around us. So let's read Matthew 5, verses 13 to 17. As it says, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can study your word. And I pray that we'd feel challenged to be the salt and light of this world. That we would want to impact the world around us, even though it may feel dark or hard at times. We know that you are good, and you call us to be different and set apart. I pray that in your holy name. Amen. All right, so the first part that we'll look at is being salt, preserve and enhance. And this is from verse 13. So in the ancient world, salt was like highly valued, and it was a necessary and essential item in daily life. It served various purposes, including being used as a preservative to keep food from spoiling, a purifier for dealing and ritual purposes, and a seasoning to enhance the flavor of food. So given its vital role, salt was often a symbol of something precious and really indispensable. Jesus taught that Christians are to be like salt, influencing the world for good, preserving righteousness, promoting purity, and adding value to life. that's what we're meant to do, is to be light, to add value to wherever we are. He likely had three specific qualities of salt in mind for believers. It was purity, preservation, and flavor. First one is purity. So the glistening whiteness of salt symbolizes purity, making it an appropriate metaphor for moral and spiritual life that Christians are called to live in this world. The Romans considered the salt the purest of all things because it came from two things, sun and the sea. Similarly, Christians are called to embody purity in their thoughts, their actions, and their overall conduct. To maintain the purity, believers must remain vigilant, constantly reflecting on whether their lives align with God's will. Purity involves more than just avoiding sinful actions. It means cultivating a heart and mind that is focused on what is holy and good. One of the challenges Christians face today is actually lowering their societal standards in areas such as honesty, diligence, and moral behavior. Believers are called to live above reproach, engaging the world without compromising our values. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to be in this world, but not act like it. James 1:27 reminds believers that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Right? We see this idea that we're meant to love our neighbor, but also to love them well, but also not be polluted by the things of this world. You know that this verse highlights the dual call of Christians to love and serve others while guarding themselves against the corrupting influences of our world. Because sometimes I think we can be influenced by this world. But staying pure involves immersing oneself in God's word and listening to the Holy Spirit, who guides believers to really make the right choices in life. Christians are called to be mindful of their thoughts, their deeds, representing Jesus well in everything that they do. The second thing about salt is its preservatives. So salt's ability to preserve food from decay makes it a powerful symbol for Christians' role in this world. Just as salt keeps food from rotting, Christians are called to help prevent moral and spiritual decay in society. And this involves standing firm in their faith and maintaining godly influences to the world around them. However, Christians are not immune to corruption and must take steps to safeguard themselves against it. Right, Paul speaks about this inward battle in all of us. It's this battle of flesh and spirit, where we want to do good, but we end up giving in to our flesh. And that when we, without spiritual safeguards, even strong believers can fall into sin. You know, we see this with many leaders in churches who give into either, they fail morally, whether they're embezzling money, or they don't love their neighbor well, or they have an affair. Like, there's so many things that, as Christians, we need to safeguard ourselves against sin, and we need to be careful. And that's through self-examination, prayer, and reliance on God's strength to resist temptation, right? We can't do it on our own. We need God's help. The other thing with salt is that it flavors things. Food without salt is really unappetizing, and it's much like life without the presence of Christ is like in our lives. Christians are called to add flavor to life by living in a way that reflects God's joy, peace, and love. Just as salt enhances the flavor of food, believers should positively influence those around them. In a world filled with anxiety and despair, Christians should be the one with serenity and joy. That lives should reflect the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, including love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We should have these things in our lives. These qualities should emanate from believers, impacting our families, communities, and our workplaces. The Beatitudes, which precede Jesus' teaching on being salt, provide kind of a blueprint for living life that permeates and transforms really this decaying world. And kind of this idea that we should apply to our lives as having the Beatitudes. Jesus warns that if salt loses its saltiness, it really is useless. While salt itself cannot lose its strength, Jesus uses this imagery to kind of stress the necessity for believers to maintain their distinct mission in this world, that we are to be salt and light. Being thrown out and trampled underfoot symbolizes the uselessness of believers who kind of abandon their calling to live as salt. Christians are called to stand for God and righteousness in a world that is spiritually and morally decaying. Romans 12:2 instructs believers, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? This verse highlights the importance of living in the world, but not conforming to its standards. And transformation and renewal can only come through the Holy Spirit. It's not on our own. We can't transform ourselves. It's God and reading our Bible and spending time with him. And as we get his heart, he transforms us, transforms our mind and our heart. Christians must be intentional in preserving themselves from corrupting influence in this world. And this involves being careful attention to their words, their thoughts, actions, ensuring that they remain set apart for God's purposes. You know, when I think about when I became a Christian as a teenager, I went to youth group, and I just remember these people were just so different. I said, why do they show me such love and care? Because I was a very broken teenager, and I thought low of myself, but there were people that were pouring into me. And that's kind of the idea that we're meant to be as salt, is to love people around us, to be different, to be set apart. To not be like the world. Because a lot of the times I think we go to the standards of the world or we're attracted to it. But we need to be attracted to what God has for us. Because what he has is so much better than what we could imagine or even dream of. So a thought to think about is, are there areas in your life where societal standards have influenced you to compromise on purity or righteousness? The second one is to be light. To illuminate the darkness. Jesus commands Christians to be what he himself claimed to be in John 9:5, which is, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the spiritual illumination guiding people out of darkness into the truth. So Jesus demands nothing else but that we should be like him. When Jesus spoke these words, he was using an expression his Jewish audience would understand. They spoke of Jerusalem as the light to the Gentiles, and a famous rabbi was often called the lamp of Israel. God calls his people to be a light to the nation so that his salvation will reach the ends of the earth. Many ancient cities were built on hills, so their lights would be visible on the horizon of the night sky. So the most common lamps in this time were ones that could fit in your hand, And basically placing a container under it would basically just obscure it, or it would go out. So it's kind of useless to just do that. Invisible light is just as useless as tasteless salt. God said to Israel, I will make you a light to the Gentiles in Isaiah 49:6 and 42:6. And so when Jesus came, he took that role over, and when he ascended, he then gave it to his disciples. And this call applies to us today. We are called to be Christ's representatives. We are to shine a light in the dark places. The Jews were aware that they could not kindle their own light, and it was not because of their good works or their deeds or merit or just following certain rituals or practices. Those didn't produce the light. It is actually being with God, having Christ inside of you. Right, Isaiah talks about earning our salvation. If we're trying to shine our own light, it's kind of like holding up our own dirty rags to God. It's not good. In order for us to shine the light, we need to be attached to the vine. We need to abide in Christ. The radiance that shines from Christians comes from the presence of Christ, which radiates in their hearts. This is why we need to stay connected to the light source. When we don't spend time with God, our lights will eventually dim. We constantly need to be attached to the vine. That is this idea. We need to learn to abide in God. We must prioritize our relationship with him. right? By attaching ourselves to him, we can then shine our light to others, because that's what we are meant to do in this world. Our light shines from the love we have for God. A light is meant to be seen. Christianity should be visible to all people. When people see the way that you live, they should see Christ in you. The way that you love people, the way that you do everything in life, Christ should be in you. You are Christ's representative. Right? If our light only stays here or in our bubbles, like it's no use. We need to go out into this world and shine the light and show that people are in darkness. There's this light, there's this great thing that we can have in life. Our light should shine everywhere we go. Our lives should really reflect Jesus. And this should be evident in every area of our life, whether we're at home with our families, whether our school, our workplaces, or even grocery shopping, or when we're at food getting, or when we're at a restaurant getting food. Like, everything that we do should be the way that represents Jesus. We should be a light in every place. Through the way we live, people will see Jesus in us. Our world is in darkness, wandering around, trying to figure out and navigate this life. And we can point them towards the light, which is Jesus. Through loving our neighbor, people can see Christ in us, and then they will praise God because you point them towards him. We are not the ones who save people. It's the Holy Spirit working in their lives. People must make their own choices to follow him or not. And if we allow it, God can use us to be a part of someone's spiritual journey. We can share how God has shaped us and transformed us and how he's loved us and cared for us and pointed towards others. We can say our world is dark and it needs light. It could really use hope, joy, love, peace. It can only be found in Jesus. Many in our world are in despair and dealing with hopelessness, and we have an opportunity to share that hope that we have in God. We can point them towards the true light source. This is the call Jesus gives us, to be salt and light in this world. The way we live and love people should point others towards God. That's kind of the goal. It should not be about our own glory or accomplishments. It should all be giving glory and praise to God. You know, the one thing that I can really say is, anyone really competitive here? Where we can be salt and light? Who's a very competitive person? Like, they like to play games. If they lose, they're getting mad. Yeah. Millie and I recently got a board game for Christmas, and it's a two-player game. And I'm a very competitive person, especially when it comes to board games. If I'm playing, like, what's it called? Settlers of Catan? Like, we're not friends. Like, it's cutthroat time. You know, maybe we'll learn to love. But here's the thing. In our competitiveness, because that gets the better of us, we don't have self-control, we're still meant to be salt and light. Right? No matter how hard it is, we have to exemplify how Jesus would when he's playing those games. And it may be hard at times, but that's what we have to do. We have to be salt and light in this world. We have to be different. People have to say, why are you different? Why do you have this joy or this hope or this peace? And we say, it's because of Jesus. Right? The only way we can go through sufferings or hard times in our lives is because of Jesus. Right? That's the only way where we can really show the difference, that when our hope and our foundation is in God, we can't be shaken, because we cling to him and we just go, God, I know you're there and I know you're going to be working. And that's all we can do. What if you're really? I know. Can't rub it in their face, but yeah, I know. I get mad. We played one round. I said, that's it. I'm done. She creamed me in the last game we played. But I had to take a breather and be like, okay, it's just a game. So a thought to think about: in what areas of your life, home, work, school, community, do you need to let your light shine more intentionally? And the last point is, live to glorify God. The good works we do in life should always point back to Jesus. People are drawn to genuine kindness and selflessness that represents God's love. So what does this practically look like in our lives? sometimes it's easier said than done. Being salt and light means, I think from what I know, is living out the Beatitudes and applying God's teaching in our everyday life. Because if we see where salt and light is and where it's sandwiched, it's in between, it's after the Beatitudes, and it's also before when Jesus starts talking about the law. And so I would say it's applying these things to our lives. And if you have your notebook, I would actually point an arrow up towards act like the Beatitudes, and down is embrace the law that Jesus gives. And that's kind of the idea of it. But it's easier said than done. You know, it's kind of like talking on the law. It's not just avoiding murder, but it's actually choosing not to hate your brother or sister, to not hold on to that anger that's there, that bitterness. It's not just avoiding adultery. It's actually dealing with the heart reason of it is lust and getting rid of that. It's not retaliating with revenge when someone hurts us. As we see, an eye for an eye makes the world go blind, but it's choosing to love our enemies. How hard is that? Choosing to love our enemies? Like, that is a crazy thing to do, but that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to love our enemies. When we apply these teachings, we become the salt and light Jesus calls us to be. We are called to be different and set apart from the world, not out of duty, obligation, or to earn merit, but because we love God and we want others to experience the love of God. That's why we are meant to be salt and light. We can't do this on our own. This is why God's given us the Holy Spirit to empower and equip us to do the things that He is calling us to do. Transformation into the image of Christ is only possible through the Spirit's work in our lives. We cannot be passive in our walk with God. If Jesus calls us to be salt and light, let's add flavor and illuminate darkness wherever we go. Always point to the glory of God in everything we do. Our lives are worship to Him. Let your light shine for everyone to see. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but live a life that honors God. Let Christ emanate through the way that you live. Don't let the world influence you or entice you. Be the one who influences it. Live courageously, knowing that you don't walk alone. The Holy Spirit guides and helps you. Let's live every moment to honor God with everything that we have. So in what ways can you add flavor and shine light in your everyday interactions this week, putting others to God's glory rather than conforming to the world? So living as salt and light is both a privilege and a responsibility. Jesus's call challenges us to live distinctively in a world that often pulls us towards conformity. But we don't walk this path alone. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can embody purity, preservation, and joy, adding flavor and light to God's place, that wherever God places us. This week, commit to being people who influence the world for good, pointing others to God's glory in every interaction and shining the light in every place we go. Let's live in such a way that others see God's grace, love, reflected in us as we are drawn to glorify Him. Being salt and light also means having the courage to be distinct even when it's challenging or uncomfortable. We're called to stand out not for our own recognition, but so that God's truth can be seen and experienced to those around us. Imagine the difference we could make if every interaction this week was marked by grace, truth, and compassion. So as we go this week, let's ask ourselves, in what specific ways can I bring God's flavor and light into my home, workplace, and community, even when it's difficult? So I'm going to pray. God, thank you for this day. God, we know that you give us a call to be salt and light, and this can be difficult. To love our enemies, to not be selfish, because naturally that's what we do. We think about ourselves. God, help us to put that away. Help us to not conform to this world, but conform to your will, God. Thank you for who you are and all that you do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.